This morning we're going to begin a series on the armor of God. And we're starting this because having God's armor on is the only way to serve God effectively and efficiently and to stand up to Satan. And so we're going to be in Ephesians verses 6 through 19 over, I'm sorry, 10 through 19, chapter 6 for the next few weeks. And I encourage you to read it again and again, to read through it, to listen to what Paul says to us, and to be prepared as we come together each week. So let's look at Ephesians chapter 6 verses 10 through 13 this morning. Paul writes, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand, to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness." Now, Paul here in the previous chapters, 4 and on, Paul's been giving a discussion to us about our new life in Jesus. He describes over the next 3 chapters the way that we are to live and how we are to be changed before God. He gives specific direction to wives, to husbands, to children, to employees and employers. All the areas of our life come into play, and we fall, all of us, into one of those categories. And now Paul gives us this final instruction. Before we go any further, let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you because you wrote this down so that we would know and understand more about you, so that we would have this as a guide in our life. Father, you, Holy Spirit, helps us to understand the things that you have written for us. And so I pray this morning that you would be among us. For your word tells us where two or more are gathered in your name, you are there also. And so we ask, Father, that you would guide us in our study this morning, that we would know what your word has to say, and that we would be able to involve this in our heart, that we would chew on it, that we would meditate upon it, that it would change us and make us to be the people you've called us to be. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So now here we are, this final instructions in chapter 6, and Paul gives us these vital instructions on our life. And he tells us to put on the full armor of God. This discussion of the armor is not really new teaching. We find it throughout Scripture. We see the discussion of all the different pieces of armor that Paul talks about here. But Paul puts it together in one place, and I find it really helpful to be able to see all these pieces. I don't have to go to different places. Paul's kind of put it all together in one piece. And so I think that will be helpful for us as we're looking at this. And he tells us that there's a purpose for his instruction, and it's to prepare you, to prepare me, to be able to stand firm against the evil one, to be able to stand firm against Satan. In James 1, verses 14 and 15, he tells us that each one of us is lured and enticed into the temptations of our desires. And when our desires grow, they give birth to sin, and sin leads to death or separation from God. And so the ability to stand firm against that is vital if we're going to serve God in the way that He wants us to. And Paul, knowing this, is teaching us how to avoid these temptations. He then makes a specific point. He says our battle is not against flesh and blood. Your battle isn't against that next door neighbor. It's not against your boss. It's not against the person at the grocery store. It's not even against that guy who cut you off on the freeway six times. That's not where your battle is. Our battle is against Satan. Our battle is against the evil one. Our battle is against those that serve him and support him. And he says, we're going to be prepared to fight against the darkness of the day. The darkness, that present darkness that Paul talks about. It was present darkness then, and it's present darkness today. That hasn't changed. And that darkness is in the world. It's the world where we live. We live in a world of darkness. I was reading this morning, and Isaiah talks about the fact that he's seeing this vision, and he's in heaven. And he sees God, and the train of his robe fills the temple, and he's amazed and awed by what he sees. And what does he say? He says, oh, woe is me. I'm a sinful man. I have sinful lips, and I live among a people who have sinful lips. What is going to happen to me? I've now seen the mighty God, and I'm not prepared. See, we live in a world of sin. We live here, but that's not who we are. We belong to God. And Paul says you need to be prepared to stand up under the weight of the world. Our fight is against those who are opposed to God. And so the ones who are allowing temptation to rule in their lives, they put forth the thought that sin in your mind of the present day. You walk down the street and they say, oh, there's something. Oh, there's something. Satan puts that eye candy out there. And he gets you to take a glimpse and see if maybe there's something interesting to see. And so he wants to put that out because all he wants to do is distract you away from God. To cause you to lead where your desires want to go. And Paul warns us of this, but he also says, praise God. Colossians 2:15 says that Jesus disarmed the powers, the rulers, the authorities, and put them to open shame when he died on the cross. He triumphed over them. You know what that means for us? That means that we can triumph over them as well. Because if Jesus did it, not by his power alone, but by the power of God, and we now have the power of the Holy Spirit within us, then we also have the power to overcome those temptations. We have the power to defeat Satan. It means that we can be absolutely certain that if we follow God, we can overcome the temptation. And the Holy Spirit gives us that power to do that. And Paul is now going to give us some parts of the armor. And notice, I was thinking about this, this is not the armor of the believer. This is not the armor of the Christian. This is the armor of God. It is his armor that he bestows upon us. It's his armor that we put on. And it is his armor that Paul tells us about. You know, we're not also the first ones who wore the armor. Jesus Christ wore this armor. And he wore it effectively. And he wore it every single day. And because he wore it, he defeated Satan. And he, because he wore it, shows us that we should wear it as well. We must determine every single day to put on the armor of God. Paul tells us this armor is to protect us so that we can fight effectively. Now I want you to imagine you're a soldier. Some of you may have been soldiers. When you are a soldier, or if you are a soldier, you are given certain things. You're given a uniform. You're given a weapon. You're given armor to put on, a helmet, boots. And you have all that armor. Now imagine you're going to go out to battle. The enemy is going to be firing at you. They have weapons that will shoot at you. You will hear bullets and grenades and bombs and everything that's going on. So how many of us are going to go to the fight? We're going to go get in the transport to go out to the fight, but we're going to leave all of our armor hanging on the end of the bed. Are you going to wear a t-shirt and some shorts and flip-flops and head off into battle? And you say, of course not. That would be stupid. And it would be. So why is it that we go out into the world where we know the evil one is prowling around looking for him that he might devour? We go out without putting our armor on. We just mosey on out the door. And we think we're going to be safe. We're not going to be safe. We're putting ourselves at tremendous risk because we're not arming ourselves. We're not preparing ourselves to defend. We need to take the same seriousness that we would in a physical battle into this spiritual battle. And Paul begins for us and he says, put on the belt of truth. The belt is the first item you put on. In days of old, you would put it on because it would wrap your robe against your body and keep it out of the way when you were fighting. Today, you put on a belt because if you don't, your pants will fall down and they will get in the way of your fighting. Right? And Paul says, put on the belt. It's there for a purpose, and it's called the belt of truth. It is the fundamental first piece to put on. And for us as believers, it is the fundamental first piece to strap on. Today's world says, you know, there are a lot of ways to get to God. Today's world says, it doesn't really matter which road you get, eventually you'll get to heaven. It doesn't matter as long as you're a good person. Or as long as you're sincere in what you believe. And they say this because they say, well, God is good. And if God is good, then God will accommodate whatever way I try to come to him. But that's not truth. That is not truth. That is a lie of Satan, the evil one. The Bible tells us that is not truth. The Bible is absolute about it. Peter says in Acts 4, verse 12, there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we may be saved. Paul says the same thing in Ephesians 1, 13, that salvation is the word of truth. And John tells us in John 1, verse 1 and 2, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Notice that very important word. It says, he was with God. It doesn't say, it was with God. It says, he was with God. That's because Jesus is the Word. Jesus is God's truth. And he is God and was with God in the beginning. The Bible doesn't claim to be a truth or one of the truths. The Bible says it is the truth. There is no other truth. That's why in John 14, 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There is no other way. That is the truth. The Word of God is truth. It is the only truth. There may be lots of facts in the world, but there is only one truth, and that is God's truth. Now, what does a belt have as value hanging in your closet? You know it's there, but it doesn't do you any good if you leave it in the closet, right? It's there, but if you don't put it on, you are going to have a very embarrassing day. In James 1, verse 22, we're told by James to be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. We deceive ourselves because we think that by owning the belt, we're good. And James says, don't just own the belt, put it on. If you don't put it on, you don't have it with you. And if you don't have it with you, you are going to suffer because you will not have the truth at your disposal. And the world is going to lie to you because they serve Satan. And they're going to tell you lies all day long. And if you don't have the truth wrapped around you, you are going to give in to those lies. Maybe not the first one or the second one, but eventually it'll happen. It happens all the time. Why? Because we're not wearing the truth. We don't have it with us. And you say, well, what does that mean in real life, Rick? This is an allegory. What does it mean? How does that work? You know, we always are after you to read the Word of God. I know we hound you. We hound you. You know why? Because if you're not reading the Word of God, you don't have the truth of God. And if you don't have the truth of God, how can you know what the truth is? So we tell you, every day, get up and read the Word of God. Know what it says. Listen to it. Meditate upon it. Think about it. How does it apply to me? What does that mean? When we read God's Word, we shouldn't be just reading it for the sake of reading it. Whenever you read God's Word, you should be saying to yourself, what have I learned today that I can use against the liar that is Satan? What have I learned today that I can share with somebody to encourage them, to lift them up? What is it I have learned today that I can apply in my life and live a different way? Different than the world, the way God wants me to live. What is it that I have learned from Him every day? Imagine if you approach the Word of God that way every time. How different your outlook would be. How different your strength would be as you go into the world. When we read, be careful, because the evil one's going to try to distract you. The evil one's going to try to put things in your mind. Thoughts, oh, what do I got to do at work today? Oh, what's coming up next week? Oh, you know, the game is on in 20 minutes. I better hurry. If we allow that to happen, he will distract us from doing the very thing that will protect us from those lies. We need to focus on what God has written so that we can have it in our hearts, so that we can know what it says. And we need to fight against him, Satan. Everyone in the world, whether you realize it or not, has a system doctrine. They have a way of thinking. They have a way of saying, this is the way life works. And even those who deny God know that God is there. And if they deny him, they still have a system that says, this is what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen in my life. This is the way things work. And it may not be the truth, but they all have one that they deal with. And I want you to think about this. Because if what you have as a system is not the truth, then it's not from the Word of God. Think about this. If what you believe isn't from God, then you are wrong. That's hard. But if what you believe about what's going to happen isn't what is in the Word of God, then you are wrong. And you need to change and listen to what God's Word says. And lastly, we want to say something about that this is not something that we do on our own. Listening to Word and knowing what God's Word says is something that only Jesus and the Holy Spirit can help us with. I can't do this on my own. I can't be there by myself. But God says, don't worry. I'm going to be there with you. The Holy Spirit is given to us as a guide, as a counselor, as a way of knowing what God's Word says. In Isaiah 11:5, we're told that God's Messiah will wear truth and righteousness around his waist. It actually uses the word faithfulness, and I'll lean on DJ here because I didn't study Greek, but it says that if you look at the word of faithfulness that's used there, it's a word that's translated truth when it comes to Greek. So it says that Messiah, Jesus, will wear upon him the truth and righteousness around his waist. So when did Jesus use this truth? Well, he used it all the time, of course, but specifically. Well, if you go into Matthew 4, verses 1 through 11, I'll let you do that this afternoon on your own. But if you look there, it is the time when Jesus was being tempted by Satan. And over, Jesus is tempted to sin. Satan tries to trick him to sin. But what does Jesus do? He uses the truth of God, the word that God had written, to tell Satan the truth and to defeat what Satan had said to him. And what's really great is you get to that last verse, and in it, it says that Satan left him. He left him defeated. He was defeated by the truth, the word of God. We can defeat Satan the same way. The clothing of God, the faithfulness of truth that Jesus gave to us is far better than any bauble that Satan can offer us, than anything else that might be there. God's truth is foundational to our armor. Only in the truth can we be prepared for the spiritual warfare we will face every day. So every morning, put on the belt of truth so that you're prepared for the war that you're going into. Now, the second piece of armor that Paul writes about here is the breastplate of righteousness. So I was thinking, what is righteousness? What is that for us? You know, I think a lot of Christians believe that what makes them right is their acts of obedience. That's what makes us right. And many people believe that if they're doing their best to obey God, they'll be righteous. But that's not true. The fact is, we can't be righteous. Romans 6:23 tells us that the wages of sin are death. Think about that in life. In my life, suppose I only sin once a day. That'd be a miracle in and of itself. But imagine you only sin once a day. That means in a year you've sinned 365 times. An extra one on leap years. In a lifetime you've sinned over 20,000 times. I'm pretty sure that if you looked at my sin clock, it would look like the national debt spinning out of control. Right? But imagine that. All that sin coming because you just made one mistake every day. You say, but what about all the good things I did? Surely the good things that I do will help offset some of those sins, won't it? Isaiah 59:2 says that our sins have caused a separation between us and God. And in Isaiah 64, it says that all our righteous deeds, all those good things that I was counting on, are like filthy rags. All that good stuff that was going to help me get out of trouble is nothing but dirty clothing. And our righteous deeds are only really what we were supposed to do in the first place. So we really haven't done anything extra. Paul says, "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." In Isaiah 59:16, God says that there is no man to intercede, and so he's going to send his son to do for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. And Paul writes of this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He says in verse 21 that Jesus became our sin so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. See, once again, it's not about what I do. It's about what God has done for me. In verse 19, Paul tells us that Christ was reconciling the world to himself, not counting our trespasses against us. Why? Because God charged all those sins to Jesus Christ. See, two exchanges take place here. The first is, Paul says that God has removed our sin from us and placed it upon Jesus, the Messiah. So all your sins are taken away, not just the sins you've committed, but all the sins you have committed, are committing, and are going to commit, all that sin is taken away from you and put on the shoulders of Jesus. So all your sins are gone. Jesus, the only one who could rightfully stand before God on the basis of his pure life, the only one who had lived sinless throughout his life, God took our sins and put it on him and took it away from us. And the second thing that God did was he took Jesus' righteousness and he put it on us. He took that robe of righteousness and he placed it on your shoulders. And so now God looks upon us and he says, you're righteous because of Jesus. We are unblemished and sinless just as Jesus is, and it's all because of what Jesus did. It has nothing to do with us. So I can't make myself righteous. I can't do enough good things to be righteous. Only God makes me righteous, and he does it because of his love. And if God had only taken away my sins, we would be even, as though we had never sinned. But beyond that, he counts Jesus' righteousness as my righteousness, as your righteousness. So that when you stand before God, you're no longer sinful, you're sinless, and you're righteous because he counts you as righteous. And that's why Paul writes in Romans 8, and he says, there is now, therefore, no condemnation against those who are in Christ Jesus. Why is there no condemnation? Because my sins are taken away, and Christ's righteousness is put upon me. The exchange is available only to those who accept Christ as their Savior, but it's available to anyone who accepts Christ as their Savior. You can't have that exchange without accepting Christ, but anybody who is willing to accept Christ is part of the exchange. How wonderful that is. Now, the breastplate of righteousness is the assurance that our sins are gone and that God counts us righteous. Not because we've done anything, but because what Jesus did on our behalf. And two things are true. One is that I am always free from sin. Jesus paid the price for all my sin, so I never have to worry about God loving me. Right? Because I'm not a sinner any longer. Oh, yes, I still sin. But my sins are paid for by Christ. So I never have to worry about that. God loves me. Now think about that. If God loved you when you hated him and when you were in opposition to him, when you were his enemy, if God loved you then, don't you think he loves you just as much now that you're his child? The Bible tells us that we are given to all who come to him are given the right to be called a child of God. If I'm a child of God, certainly God loves me. And if he loved me before, he didn't stop loving me now that I'm his child. Isn't that great? That's wonderful news for us. And it's important. Think about that. The second thing is that I should never take this exchange lightly. The cost for my salvation was extreme. I am no longer part of the world. 1 Peter 2:5 says, we are being built up to be a royal priesthood to make sacrifices before God. So we need to live our lives in honor and obedience to God. And just as the breastplate defends the body of the vital organs in battle, so the breastplate of righteousness defends us against the evil one and his two main lies. You know what Satan likes to tell you? He likes to tell you that God doesn't love you. Boy, he says, after that sin, I don't know. I don't know if God could forgive you of that sin. I'm not sure God loves you that much. Boy, what you just did, whew. And you know what? I know that God loves me everlasting. I know that God loves me forever. I know that God never stops loving me because I am his child. And because I'm his child, he will never not love me. He will always love me. And if I know that because I'm in the truth, in the Word of God, then when Satan brings that lie upon me, I can kick him in the shin and say, you're a liar, get out of here. And I know you're a liar because that's all you do is lie. Jesus says his first language is to lie. That's his native tongue. The second thing is that Satan likes to tell you that sin really isn't that important. He goes, well, you know, God is going to forgive you, so just go out and do whatever you want. But that's not true either. That's not what the Word of God says. We know it's a lie. Sin cost an immense price, which was paid by God through Jesus because there was no one who could pay it on our behalf. And so Jesus paid that price. We are now a new creation being built up. That means we are continuing to grow in God. That's the idea of sanctification. It's an ongoing process of growing in God. And sin hinders and gets in the way of that growth. So we should avoid everything that gets in the way and hinders that growth. We should look to live our lives as best we can serving God. And how is the best we can? We can live perfectly because God leads us to perfection. I know it seems hard, but God says, be holy as I am holy. Be perfect as I am perfect. That's our intent. That's what we're called to be. And the breastplate of righteousness allows us to know that it's his righteousness that defends us against the lies of the evil one. And we know Satan is a liar. You can always tell when Satan is lying because that's all. Lips are moving. Every time his lips are moving, he's telling you a lie because that's all he knows. And it may not seem like one, but you know what? The more you're in God's Word, the more you know what it says, the more you will see the lies of Satan in everything that is out there. We need to strap on this righteousness. We need to remember each and every day God's righteousness and put it on so that we can live pleasing lives to God. Not by the things that we do, but by the things that God does through us. Every day you're going into battle. Every day we should be wrapping the belt of truth around our waist and putting on the breastplate of righteousness so we are prepared to do battle against Satan and his forces, against his lies, against his schemes, against everything that he throws before us. And only if we seek God's help and guidance and his strength can we do this successfully. And you know what? If you fail, don't worry. God forgives you. Get up, put the belt back on, put the breastplate on, go back into the fight and fight the good fight. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you for our Savior Jesus. And we ask God that as we are in our life every day here in the battle, I pray that you will help us to remember to be in your word every day, to seek your guidance, to learn how we can be the people you've called us to be. And Father, let us be doers of the word and not just hearers. Father, we pray that as we come each day to put on the belt of the breastplate of righteousness, that you will remind us it's your righteousness that you have put upon us, that we might be defending against the schemes and the lies of Satan, that we can be the people you've called us to be, that we can reach out into this world around us, share the good news of Jesus Christ. Help the people who are with us. Lift up our brothers and sisters. Encourage them in their walk. Be together. Defend each other. Work with each other so that we can always be about your good work. We ask, Father, to guide us and care for us throughout this week. Give us strength in your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.